Good morning. I know I'm running late when the choir leaves without me, but they should. I was late. But it's only because there's so much going on in the life of our congregation today, so we're glad that you're here to participate with us. This morning, we celebrate with the Cecil family the baptism of Cameron this morning in just a few minutes. You're invited also to stay afterwards briefly and greet them. We've got cupcakes and punch, so if you've got lunch plans, don't worry, you can still go to lunch. You just start your dessert beforehand out here if you'd like. We'd love to see you. And then this evening at 6 o'clock, we have our Halloween event for our Silly, which is our youngest youth group. We'll be out here trunk or treating and hay riding and all sorts of things, costumes and too much sugar for my children, and yet that's what we're doing, and it's going to be exciting. It's always a lot of fun. You're invited to that as well. You don't have to be a small person. Is there food again tonight? I've not been very informed about this event because Tina is so wonderful that I've not investigated, because I just know Tina takes care of things. But hot dogs. So come and have a hot dog and share in that fun Halloween event with us this evening. Today is the day that we as Lutherans mark Reformation. 502 years ago this week, we would mark Martin Luther's initiation of the Protestant Reformation. Certainly, we think that's something important and worthy of commemorating. We're not doing those Reformation texts this morning because we have an all-county Reformation service that we've had for a number of years, and we said, well, if we're going to celebrate Reformation together, we ought to do that and not have you listen to the same thing twice. So we will use the text today for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, if you're keeping track at home and trying to keep me honest, and we invite you to that Reformation service this evening, which is at 7 o'clock at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Tyro. So I hope you can join us for that. So much more going on in the life of our congregation. A lot of stuff in the bulletin. I'll invite you to check that out. Are there other announcements we ought to make note of this morning for the good of the community? Tomorrow night is Lutheran Men in Mission at 7 o'clock. You're invited to join us. Joe. See Joe to donate to that silent auction, and that is a provided lunch, so you don't have to bring anything other than if you got some cash or checks that you'd love to support our young people with scholarship money. That would be wonderful.
But you don't have to contribute to come and enjoy the fellowship.
Come eat either way.
I'm going to go ahead and say one thing, Pastor Matt. The very next week will be Pastor Matt's last week. So I want everybody to join us after the service for a celebrate Pastor Matt and his family for a little luncheon. Thank you.
And so I have some prayer shawls. As most of you all know probably, my Aunt Betty passed away this past week. And so I've made these prayer shawls, and I want to give this one for Uncle Bill, this one for Houston and Linda, and this one for Kathy and John. So if y'all will please bless them.
Not just him, Aunt Betty, right? A few people's Aunt Betty in this room. Yeah. Well, certainly, Bill, we'll keep you in our prayers and your whole family, sir. We wish a happy birthday this week to Holly and Barbara and Stephanie. Are there other folks we ought to add to the list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. invite you to turn to page 227 in the front of your book. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace of God, Keith and Lori, do you desire to have Cameron baptized into Christ? If so, we do. As you bring him to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities. To live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help him grow in the Christian faith and life? Sponsors, do you promise to nurture Cameron in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? People of God, do you promise to support Cameron and his family, to pray for him and his new life in Christ? If so, we do.
We do.
Then I ask you all up here with me first to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? And then I'll ask you all, and also all of the community of faith gathered here with us, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gracie, we're going to keep going, but would you light this candle for me right now? Thank you, dear. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection you set us free from the power of sin and raise us to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Okay. Now, this is just going to be a little wet, okay? We're going to spin you around. Cameron, Keith, Cecil, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Yes. And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'll give you this, Keith. Or Lori, maybe better. Okay. You did great. All right. invite you to continue with me on the bottom of page 230. Blessed be God, the source of all life, the word of salvation, the spirit of mercy. We pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Cameron with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. All right, Cameron, you go to work on that book, and I'm going to get the oil. Cameron, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Let's welcome Cameron. Now it's my prerogative now that I get to snatch him until he cries and then he goes back with you. This is Cameron, who you all know, many of you, but you know him now as your newest brother in Christ, the one who has been claimed by God in the water and the word, and the one who the devil can't have because God has said, you are mine, you're my precious child, and I love you, and what in the world is going to stand in the way of God's love? Not a thing. So Cameron has been claimed by God, and for that we rejoice. You want to do a parade with me every week, bud? People smiling a lot more at you than they smile at me. We give thanks, and we're going to need your help, many of you, because those promises that we make about placing the scriptures and the Ten Commandments in his hands, that's on Keith and Lori, but that's on us, too, as the gathered people of God. He's going to need instruction in that. So we gather around and support this family, not just today, but we've got some work to do as the church. We rejoice, though, Cameron, to welcome you today. We're going to put you on the mic next time. You all are welcome to return to your seats. We stand as we sing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
We continue on page 203 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and hear us all a prayer. We come to hear your living word. It saves us from despair. Have mercy on us, Christ, and wash away our sin. Pour out your grace.
God, our righteous judge, daily your mercy surprises us with everlasting forgiveness. Strengthen our hope in you and grant that all people of the earth may find their glory in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join me up front for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Hello, everybody. Okay, good morning. Before we get started, I want to tell you about one thing. Yes, it's lovely to see you all. Marcus, do you think you could sit over there just so I can get to the things I have? Yeah, that's the baby. I wanted to tell you something. Did you guys know that my family and I, we're moving away? Had you guys heard that? It's going to make me sad to not be with you all the time, but it's also an opportunity. You guys will have a new pastor to get to know and love and who will love you, but I want to have some time with you guys before it's time for us to go. So next Sunday, November 3rd, pull out your calendars. Oh, wait. Next Sunday, November 3rd, we're going to have an ice cream party with Pastor Matt for the Silly Youth, and we're going to spend some time together and talk a little bit more. So if you guys like ice cream, okay. So next Sunday afternoon, we're going to have some ice cream and talk a little bit more, and I'm glad to have that time with you. Does anybody know the song Jesus Loves Me? Yeah? Can we sing it? Will you sing it with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong.
They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
You guys sang wonderfully. Thank you. That is a great song for children, but did you know it's not just for children? We sang that song yesterday because Betty Roberts, who some of you might know, died this week. And she said that she wanted us to sing, have that song being played at her funeral. We actually didn't sing it. We played it yesterday while her family walked in because she knew something that she thought was really important, that Jesus loves us. Did you guys know that? Now, let me ask you this. What did you guys do? How did you get Jesus to love you? Well, you think you know, Ashton? Okay, hit me with it. What you got? Maybe. Okay, I'm not sure that's it. Baptism, maybe. What do you think, Calvin? Respect. Let me tell you guys something. Jesus just loves you because that's who Jesus is. You didn't have to do anything to make Jesus love you. Jesus just loves you because you are a precious child of God. You were made in the image of God, and because of that, Jesus loves you. So, you can't do anything to make Jesus love you anymore, because Jesus loves you so much already, and you can't do anything to make Jesus love you any less, because that's not who Jesus is. Jesus loves you no matter what. So, does that mean we can do whatever we want and be bad and crazy all the time and Jesus will love us? Well, Jesus will love us. Should we do that, though? Should we be bad and crazy all the time? No, I think it would make God happy if we would be kind to each other and share that love that Jesus loves us with. So I want to sing different words to this. We might have done this before. I can't remember now. So the words are going to be, Jesus loves me when I'm good. So sing that. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. When I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes Him sad. Even though it makes Him sad. Now let's sing the rest. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Perfect. Thank you. Can we pray? Will you guys pray with me? You can repeat after me. Lord God, thank you for loving us, so much that there's nothing we can do to stop your love. Help us to love each other. Amen. Okay, wonderful. Now, if you are going to children's church, which, you know, is sort of in the range of kids from about 4, then you're welcome to line up at the door over here and go to children's church. And if you're not going to children's church, you're welcome to stay with us or check out the nursery or anything, but you're always welcome here too.
First reading today comes from the book of Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turning aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give up? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning this people, truly they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down so that there is no healing for us? We look for peace but find no good. for a time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nations bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all this. The word of the Lord. Psalms for today will be Psalms 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs to be indeed thanks for the course of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways designed.
As they go through the valley of water, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. Second reading comes from 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand. Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he had told them the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The problem Jesus points to with this Pharisee is not his behavior. As far as we know, he does fast twice a week and give a tenth of his income. And all that is good. It's what the law asks. It's actually slightly better than what the law asks, because the law only said you had to feast once a week. The problem is that when this man looks at what will save him, when he looks to what will save him, he's not looking to God, right? He's looking to himself. And along with that misplaced trust in himself comes a sinister contempt for others. And his logic, I think, is not so uncommon. His pride at his works of righteousness takes hold, and he thinks, I did this on my own. I worked harder to better myself through fasting and giving and prayer. These other folks, they must just be lazy, right? And so he looks at them with contempt. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even like that tax collector. Thank you, Lord, for making me awesome. And we want to go, boo, right? Get off your high horse. Your self-righteousness is ugly. Can't you see it? How could you be so blind that you don't even know how ridiculous you sound? This Pharisee is tone deaf. He's a narcissist, hopelessly sure of himself and how great he is. Thank God I'm not like him. Oops, right? Wait a minute. We just did the same thing the Pharisee does, didn't we? We regarded him with the same contempt he had for the tax collector. This is a constant trap for us. This is what we face. We know we're reasonable people, right? So that means the people who disagree with us, the ones on the other side of the aisle, or the ones who don't see it our way, they must be the unreasonable ones. They must be the ones throwing the tantrums. We're just making our point strongly. And besides, they're so wrong and thick-headed that our anger is justified, isn't it? And oops, there it is. The exact thing Jesus implies that the Pharisee gets wrong. We assume that because of our actions or the positions we hold, that we are the justified ones, that we are the righteous ones. But the truth is, our own righteousness, our own success, our own skill, it's a shaky prospect at best. Because just like the Pharisee, sometimes maybe we do really well. You know, we go out of our way to help somebody in need. We read scripture, pray, go to church. But even the best of us don't get it right all the time. Sometimes it's more like, but I helped somebody in need yesterday, Lord. You expect me to do that again today? Sometimes it's like, well, life is too crazy right now to spend intentional time with God today. Sometimes it's like we check the bank account and think, you know, I gave generously to the work of the kingdom last month. This month, I think I've got some other things to tend to. This is how our righteousness goes, right? It's flawed. It's unreliable. Sooner or later, even with our very best intentions, our righteousness lets us down. Which is why we can relate, I think, to what the tax collector does. Yeah, the tax collector. From the very mention of his job, we're supposed to recoil. This is the guy who betrayed his people, making a quick buck off of them by supporting the Roman occupying force, collecting funds for them. But for all the tax collector's faults, he does understand something. He knows that if he is going to be made right with God, it's not going to be by his own doing. He's too far gone for that. So he does the only thing he can do. He throws himself on the mercy of God, and Jesus says he goes home justified. So the moral of this little parable is simple, right? Be like the tax collector. Well, no, I'm not sure it's quite so neat as that. the particular emphasis of our Lutheran tradition, what was rediscovered and lifted up again in the Reformation, is that getting right with God is not something that we can swing. If we're reliably anything, it's not righteous, but sinful. But blessedly, our justification is about what God has done for us in grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not as an if-then proposition, right? That depends on the right conditions of righteousness being met by us, but just because God our Creator has loved us from creation. And this loving Creator chooses to bring us back into right relationship despite all of our failings. The tax collector seems to get this much. But this doesn't mean we should give up on trying to live by God's commands and go the route of the tax collector. It doesn't mean we ought to just do what's profitable. Doesn't mean we ought to do what's most convenient or feels the best in the moment and go, oh, it's fine, God loves us and God's going to have it covered in the end. God's mercy does not mean that God's will for our lives is not important anymore. It's just that rather than the law and our salvation being related in an if-then kind of condition, if you keep the law, you will be saved. The condition is actually a because, therefore, right? Because God has loved you so completely, because Jesus has died for you already, because in baptism you have been joined to the righteousness of Christ, therefore you are called to live as God would have you live. You're called to love, right? And living the way God calls us to live, it's not just the gracious response for those of us who have received this gift, right? It's also what's good for us. As Cameron gets older, his parents and this congregation have to fulfill some of those responsibilities that they promised, to teach him about God and the creed and the scriptures and the Ten Commandments. And that is for a few reasons that he needs those things, right? First of all, you said you would, so you're on the hook, Keith and Lori, right? And you, congregation, who said you'd support him. But it's also, this is how we respond well to the gifts that God has given us. We learn about God and seek to do God's will. But there's a third thing, actually, a third reason that Cameron needs to learn these things. We want Cameron to know the will of God because we believe that the will of God is what's good for him. It's what's best for him. It was given by the one who created him, and who better to know what he needs, right? When push comes to shove, my faithfulness is sometimes shaky, and I bet Cameron's sometimes will be too. We try to turn the other cheek. Sometimes, though, we fail and we lash out. We fail to be the people God would have us be. It's true for me, it'll be true for Cameron. But the truth that Jesus reminds us of in this parable is that our relationship with God is not dependent on your faithfulness or mine. Cameron is not baptized because of his faithfulness or even his parents' faithfulness. Rather, we are brought into right relationship. Cameron is baptized because God is faithful. Cameron is claimed by water and word because of the faithfulness of God. And how faithful is God? Faithful enough to go to the cross, the grave, and back for your sake and for the sake of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Of the everlasting laws, what a
Let us pray. Knowing the one in whom we trust, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need. Hope of the world, come to us and be in the midst of your church. Forgive our iniquity and set us free. Set our hope on you, that our mission will indeed be yours. Lord, in your mercy. The whole creation sings out in joy, your care that the sparrow finds a home and the shallow nest. Give us that same love for the world you share with us and all creatures. Lord, in your mercy. Happy are those whose strength is in you. Set the hearts of world leaders upon your justice, so that all people live in peace and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. Our souls long for you. Stand by us and encourage us. Give us your mercy, healing, and justice to those who are sick and suffering, that in our longing we will know your rescue and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful reformer, you make all things new. Reform your church so that our life together bears witness to your unmerited love for all. Free us from sin and write the law of love on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. How lovely is your dwelling place now and forever. We remember with thanksgiving your saints at the rest in your eternal peace, especially Miss Betty. Be their witness, strengthen us for the living of these days. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Savior's love, who died to set me.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Lamb of God, you bear the sin of all.
stand. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin or on the screen. As united people of God,
under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Just a reminder for the fellowship for reception down in the fellowship hall. Go in peace, serve the Lord.